From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, boy, if you ever wanted some real science, tonight's your night. World-renowned scientist Nassim Hedamain joins us as we talk about the fundamental structure of the universe and so much more. Hey, good news coming out of the automobile industry. General Motors is upping production in calling, that's right, not laying off, calling back 1,350 of its U.S. and Canadian auto workers back to work due to increased demand for its vehicles. The company said it is raising production by about 60,000 vehicles in the third and fourth quarters in response to the increased sales that accompany the government's Cash for Clunkers program. The increased production will come from added shifts and overtime. The company will keep select plants open during weeks that they had previously been forecast to be shut down. So a little bit of good news there. And Ford Motor Company says that its future electric cars will talk to power grids across the country, part of an effort to drive interest in alternative energy vehicles. The nation's second largest automaker released details of a two-year collaboration with 10 utility companies, as well as the Department of Energy, on the design of a system that allows car owners to control when they charge vehicles and for how long. Ford's first battery electric vehicle is called the Transit Connect commercial van. It'll be available next year. A battery electric Ford Focus compact car will go on sale in 2011. Utility companies say their grids already are ready to handle electric cars, although some drivers are likely to need additional equipment installed in your garage, for example, depending on the vehicle's voltage requirements. Hurricane Bill strengthened to a Category 3 storm Tuesday evening, making it the very first major hurricane of the Atlantic season. The most significant threat that this storm seemed to pose was to Bermuda, which it would pass in about 3 or 4 days. Now, here's a problem that a lot of people suffer from, but they just don't know it. Sleep apnea, and severe sleep apnea, raises the risk of dying early by 46%, according to U.S. researchers. Some people with milder sleep breathing problems don't share that risk. They said that people with severe breathing disorders during sleep were more likely to die from a variety of causes than similar people without such sleep disorders. The risks are most obvious in men aged 40 to 70. Heart attacks and other vascular injuries could eventually be treated using regular injections of magnetized stem cells. Where have we heard this before? In animal trials, the cutting-edge treatment delivered the healing cells to the precise site of damage where their help was needed. Although human tests, they say, are needed, a similar magnetic approach has been used to guide cancer therapies. But similar human tests? Christian Weil brought to us well over a year ago stories of people getting stem cells injected into their heart muscle, and they have made miraculous recovery. Christian Weil, author and researcher, is on the line with us now. Christian, we were so far ahead of the curve on this one.
It's kind of amazing, George. And I see you've been digging again because you've got some good ones here tonight.
Yep.
Whatever they develop in the form of stem cells and harvesting them, purifying them, they still need a delivery system. Much of the delivery is done with catheter. But this is something different, and I'm sure scientists all over the world are going to be looking at it and saying, well, if it can work for the heart, if you can direct and drag, in effect, stem cells right to the point of injury, why couldn't we do that with our particular therapy for a different organ, possibly the brain? And it's going to open up a whole new gamut. It can bring the cells there without dissipating them throughout the body. So the big problem is, how do you bring it directly? It's kind of like tumors in cancer research. Proton beam therapy a few years ago would concentrate the full radiation directly on the prostate tumor without destroying all of the viable, healthy tissue that surrounded
that,
it.
All around it, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, so they wanted to bring up something that could do that. And this is going to have a lot of ramification. And because it's FDA approved, for other uses, they don't have to go through 7 or 10 years with the FDA. It's kind of like that, what was it, minoxidil, Upjohn developed for hypertension.
Which ended up growing back hair.
It grew hair. So they didn't have to go all through and reinvent the wheel. But this is very interesting.
It's a dramatic story. And this other one, I just wanted to ask you about sleep apnea. This is a major problem that most Americans who suffer from it don't even know that they stop breathing when they're sleeping, Christian. Mm.
They stop breathing. A lady friend of mine just went in and had the sleep evaluation, which doctors will prescribe for you. Insurance will pay for it. You go to a sleep center, and they monitor your blood pressure. They monitor your heartbeat, your oxygen level. She had been awakened 200 times during the night by her sleep apnea, and she didn't realize it. She's always been exhausted at work. She didn't know why exactly that was happening. This is a very serious illness. 25 million people are diagnosed with it. Another 5.5 million do not know they have it.
A friend of mine owns a restaurant in St. Louis, the Cafe Napoli, fine place. He has to sleep every night with one of those breathing devices.
A CPAP machine.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, because the economy is where it is right now, if your doctor wants you to get one but you can't afford it and the insurance won't take care of it, you can buy them on eBay or on Craigslist. I was looking for them there for a friend of mine, and I found one for $75, another one for $300. Sleep apnea, for irregular heartbeat, for instant sudden death, it's a major factor. It enlarges the heart, leading to heart failure. And as far as accidents are concerned, the National Safety Board says there are 15,000 automobile deaths a year from sleep apnea, falling asleep while you're driving.
That is amazing. What's new with the stem cell and turmeric research report?
Well, I'm real excited about it. Now, you know, you, above all else, know that you have some brilliant people, intelligent people out there. You're Nuriites. They ask intelligent questions. And they have asked me time and time again, how does this spice do what scientists are claiming it does? How does it invade or inhibit and shut off cancer's master switch in more than 25 cancers? Now, to get those answers, I mentioned to you before, I needed to get Professor Agarwal from the University of Texas, and he has been helping me in preparing this issue of the stem cell turmeric research report. We will answer those questions. Certain things like kappa, the nuclear factor kappa B, KB, and STAT3, tissue necrosis factor, TNF, it invades these and it stops them. It stops them in prevention, and we're not saying you take some turmeric tomorrow, you're never going to get cancer. But it prevents, as a preventative, of you getting cancer. But if you have cancer, the studies and the clinical studies that I'm going to present actually are effective in treating cancer. And then another question is, can you use it with chemotherapy and radiation? They are doing that, and they're getting a much better result without the side effects of toxicity that you get during chemotherapy.
Christian's website, myheartbook.com, will be on our Twitter feed that you can get at coasttocoastam.com. He does have a toll-free number interested in his turmeric research report, which is toll-free 866. Got to put a 1 in front of it, of course. 1-866-STEM-123. 866-STEM-123. Christian, thanks again. 3 in 4 parents are risking their child's eyesight by exposing them to bright light without appropriate protection. Nearly a third of parents in Britain do not buy their children sunglasses. I would guess the same thing is the case here. A poll of 2,000 people of the College of Optometrists revealed that they just don't take care of their children's eyesight. For those who do, nearly half put price before protection, and only a quarter buy sunglasses from a trusted brand. So there you go. Political columnist Robert Novak, a conservative and proud owner of the Prince of Darkness moniker, is dead after a battle with brain cancer that was diagnosed in July of 2008. He was 78 years old. A household face as co-host of CNN's Crossfire, Novak had been a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times for decades. A Disney stunt performer is dead after suffering an injury during a rehearsal. A Walt Disney World spokesperson said the performer was injured while performing a tumbling role for the Indiana Jones epic stunt spectacular at Disney's Hollywood Studios, part of the Orlando, Florida theme park. It was the third fatal incident at that park in less than 2 months. Earlier this month, a performer was injured in a pirate show, later died. In July, two monorail trains collided, killing a driver. The death of composer Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart at the age of 35 may have been caused by complications stemming from strep throat, according to a Dutch study. Since the composer's death in 1791, there have been various theories about the cause of his untimely end, from intentional poisoning to rheumatic fever to trichinosis, a parasitic disease caused by eating raw or undercooked pork. But now they think that he may have died from strep throat. It'll take me 2 hours to explain how they came to that theory, but that's what they think. An unemployed Arkansas woman trying to sell the naming rights to her seventh child on eBay is hoping her fifth try is a charm. Here we go again. LaVon Drummond on the line with us now. They keep kicking you off eBay, LaVon. What's the matter?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out myself.
I thought you and eBay came to an agreement and they were going to let you on.
That's correct. When I talked to them personally, they promised me that they would go ahead and let the fourth auction run until it was complete. And this time when they called me, they said that they admittedly made an error by removing it. It was a mistake on their part. But I would have to basically start from scratch again.
Oh, but they're going to let you back on again, right?
Yes. Just at this point, though, it's just, it looks a little bit silly.
It's almost anticlimactic now. How much do you think you've lost in bidding had these other sites have been kept up there?
You know, I couldn't even put a price on it. All I know is every time we get close to the end, I think, wow, you know, we have some type of miraculous amount, you know, that's built, and I can see the end of it. And then a day before, it just gets pulled, and then I get responses more along the lines of, you know, who are you trying to, you know, pull the wool over my eyes? You just keep doing this over and over. And I just try to explain that I'm just super sorry that I'm doing the best that I can.
Well, if you don't get any bidders, I'll start with $100 for the naming rights. At least that's something, huh?
That'd be great.
All right, good luck. Here we go. Hey, by the way, crack open your wallet, your purse, pull out that favorite portrait of George Washington on a dollar bill, and be prepared to learn about some odd symbolism that probably seemed perfectly normal in the 18th century, but isn't. What's behind the weird pyramid drawing on the reverse of the bill? What's the story behind the Great Seal of the United States? Symbolism. Up next, Jordan Maxwell on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Jordan Maxwell, preeminent researcher, independent scholar in the fields of secret societies, occult philosophies, symbolism, ufology. His work exploring the hidden foundation of Western religions and secret societies creates responses from audiences all around the world. He's our guest this hour on Coast to Coast. Jordan, how are you?
Very good. Now, George, I never thought I would be back on the radio, but here I am.
Here you are. Yeah. Well, you know, the last time you were on with us, a couple times ago, you were on the phone and you got clipped by some source.
Yep.
And I remember at a conference you telling all of us that you could still hear voices, not ours, people in the background going, "You think you'll get the message now?" Stuff like that, huh?
That's right. The phone got shut off by the phone company. And as soon as it went off, I waited for a moment, and it came back on, and I could hear people walking around in an office talking. And some of them were close enough to the microphone, they were talking about me. And it was something to the effect, and it's been back in 2005, but it was something to the effect that somebody's going to have to do something about him. And that kind of scared me, because I know it's government. I know, you know, government's the only power that can interrupt a telephone call like that and shut down a phone.
Well, you have stepped on some toes, and I don't know how many people know that the internet sensation, the movie Zeitgeist, is basically built around your life and your career, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Peter Joseph said that it was approximately 50 million downloads. Well, that's pretty...
That's a lot. Jordan, I'm holding in my hand all I've got, my dollar. On the back, we've got this pyramid with the eye. Yeah. We've got the seal. And today, there was a major story about symbolism. And I figured, you know what? Nobody knows symbolism better than you. In your opinion, what does this represent, the pyramid with the eye?
It represents the Jewish Messiah. It represents, to Christians, Jesus. Now, that's going to be very difficult for both Jews and Christians to swallow. But I'm telling you, when you do the homework, you will find that the word in the Old Testament, both in the book of Psalms and once in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, the Messiah is referred to as the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. And twice in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to in Christianity as the same thing, the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. There is a world of difference between a cornerstone, which most Christians believe Jesus to be a cornerstone. Mm-hmm. No, the scripture is you're incorrectly looking at the word. Go back and look at the word, and you will find that chief cornerstone, both in Hebrew and in Greek, means a triangle perched on top of a pyramid. So the eye on the dollar bill represents Jesus in Christianity or the Messiah in Judaism.
How about the seal now?
Well, the great seal, I think, is very interesting. It's called the Presidential Seal, the Great Seal of America. You will see above the eagle, you'll see 13 stars. And what do those 13 stars, the configuration that the 13 stars make up, what is it?
I would have thought maybe the original colonies?
No, well, yes, but what did the 13 stars together, look at it, what does it make up together as a composite, all 13 stars together?
It looks like a sun or something?
No.
Like that? What?
Star of David.
I'm close.
Yeah.
I said the sun, that's a star.
Well, yeah, but it's 13 stars in the configuration of a hexagram. And you will see that the 13 stars are connected to the 13 leaves, the 13 arrows, the 13 stripes on the flag. And so 13 is very important, and it's based on the Messiah and his chosen 12. Jesus had 12 apostles, the 12 brothers of Joseph, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when you connect the Messiah with his chosen 12, makes 13. This is why we had 13 colonies. No one's ever asked the question, why 13 colonies? Doesn't that sound a little suspicious? You know?
Well,
and
yeah,
so,
why?
Well, I mean, so once you see that the layers on the pyramid, go back to the pyramid. There are
all right.
13 layers in the pyramid.
Good point.
Yeah, and so all of this has to do with biblical symbolism.
Why do they hide things in symbols?
Well, it's because it's kind of like an in-house communication. In-house communication.
They understand.
Yeah, they understand what they're doing. And they figure that most Americans are not concerned with this kind of thing, so why bother?
Is it like a club that has a certain handshake or symbol or something?
No doubt about that.
It's something between them.
No doubt about it. And the symbolism is Masonic. And it goes back into the Bible. And as I said, the chief cornerstone in the Old Testament is a symbol for the Messiah. So what we're looking at is Jewish symbol for the Messiah in the pyramid, because the word in Hebrew is a word which means a triangle or a pentagon on top of a pyramid. And as I said, in Christianity, the word for Jesus is a chief cornerstone the builders rejected. The word in Greek is a word for a triangle perched on top of a pyramid.
But, of course, symbolism goes even deeper than that.
Oh, very much so. I mean, that's just a start.
Absolutely. I want to talk with you, with the time we have left, and take calls as well, about this economic mess we're in. And to get your take on our monetary system, Jordan, you know, I'm holding in my hand this dollar bill, which says Federal Reserve
Note. Right.
What the heck does that mean?
Well, a note is when you go into the bank and borrow money, you get a bank note. But actually, you know, in this country, this whole subject is so enormous, as you know, as you well know. This is an incredibly deep subject. But in America, you cannot lawfully pay a bill. You can discharge a debt, but you cannot pay a bill.
Explain that when we come back. Jordan Maxwell, our special guest, and we will open up the phone lines as well as we talk about symbolism on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, scientist Nassim Herdamin joins us as we talk about all things in the universe. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls and continue chatting with Jordan Maxwell about symbolism on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you with Jordan Maxwell. We'll take your calls in just a moment. Okay, Jordan, you were saying that if you give me a bill, it's really not a bill. What does that mean?
Yeah, because you cannot pay a bill in America. You can discharge a debt. It's like walking across the carpet and then touching a piece of metal. It discharges. Well, this is why when you're in the military, when you get out, they discharge you.
All right.
Because you can discharge a debt. You cannot pay a bill. And the, as I said before.
Can I say that to the next guy that sends me a bill?
Well, try it. But like I said, if you give me a bill, like you're, if you were a painter and you painted my house and you say it's
$1,000.
Yeah, $1,000. Then I reach in my pocket and give you $1,000 in bills. I give you 10 $100 bills. So that's a $1,000 bill. And so, therefore, you owe me $1,000 now. And so we have discharged the debt. And so it all goes back to maritime admiralty law, the way the banks actually, in fact, work, the way our country actually works. And most people have no idea in the world how laws work.
Do our leaders even know, Jordan?
I don't even know. Maybe at the very top they do. But most people in government have no idea in the world. They're like anyone else working for a corporation. They just do their job. That's all they need to know.
Yeah.
And the boss upstairs takes care of the rest of the business. But, you know, once you begin to understand how our government works, why do you have banks? You have banks because they're on both sides of a river. They're called river banks. What does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. Because your because your money is a currency. It's a cash flow, liquid assets. And once you begin to understand how you cannot borrow money from a bank, it's against the law to borrow money from a bank.
But I do.
You cannot borrow money from a bank. If I go in and put $100,000 into a bank and you come in 2 days later and borrow $100,000 to pay for your boat.
I've taken your money.
Yeah, no, that ain't going to work. You're not taking my money. Because if you don't pay for it, I'd out. No, that's not the way a bank.
But, you know, according to Edward Griffin, who wrote a book about the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
He tells me that banks are giving away our money, and they shouldn't be.
Well, in a manner of speaking, but the point being is that you cannot borrow money from a bank. What they do, when you buy a new car, the new car has an appraisal, paperwork. And so the appraisal says that your new car is worth $38,000. Therefore, you have what is called commercial paper that's worth $38,000. What the bank will do, if you've got good credit, they will open up a bank account in your name, but you don't know it. They'll open up a bank account and will forge your name. They will write your name and print your and write your name on the new bank account. Now you have a bank account and you didn't even know it. Now they take that $38,000 worth of commercial paper and put it into the bank account. Now you have $38,000 in the bank. Of course, they're holding it. So now they write you out a check for $38,000 and you give it to the car company. And now it's all on paper. They haven't given you anything. They haven't loaned you anything. They took the value of the car, which is commercial paper, put it into the bank account, write a check on that, and now you think that they loaned you money. No, banks do not loan
money
ever.
Yet you have to pay them the 38 grand plus interest.
That's exactly right. It's just a game. It's just a business.
Let's take some calls here with Jordan Maxwell. We'll pick it up by going to Jane in San Jose, California. Hey, Jane, how are you?
Oh, very good. Thanks, George. Yeah, I'm so glad you have Jordan on tonight.
He's going to be out in your neighborhood in September, by the way.
Oh, yes, I know. I'm planning on going. Yeah, it's great. The one comment, though, that I do have is he's missing a little piece of information.
Well, I haven't given it all yet.
I'm holding him back, but go ahead.
The I on the back of the dollar bill, if you take it to a photocopy machine and just, you know, enlarge it, okay?
I know. It becomes a reptile eye, right?
Yes, it's reptilian. So it's really the eye of the Antichrist.
What do you mean it's a reptilian eye?
Well, I mean, I've heard this many years ago.
Is she right?
No.
Okay, let me explain it. No, let me explain it. Okay.
All right.
You take that photo of that eye, and you compare it with like a Geico ad eye, like of a Geico. It's got rings of black, then a ring of white, a ring of black, and then a ring of white, and then right in the middle, there's all this, there's a bulging black. Black middle of it, you've got to really blow that thing up, and you'll with your photocopy machine, you will see it is a reptilian eye. And then you look at all the scales, and then there's no eyelashes, but there's like this accordion.
So what's your theory here, Jane? You say it's the Antichrist?
Yeah, it's the Antichrist. Whoever's in the Federal Reserve, they must be into the Antichrist, you know, the one world government or whatever. And so, anyway.
Well, this was designed, though, Jordan. Zillion years ago.
Yeah, that was.
What do you think of her theory?
Well, I mean, I understand. That's why I interjected that I already have heard this story, but I'm just telling you.
You don't agree with it.
Well, I'm just saying what the reference works. If you go to a library and go to any Christian seminary and go through all the reference works, you will see that the eye on the top of the dollar bill, on the top of the pyramid, represents the Messiah of the Old Testament and Jesus in the New.
Like a good thing.
Well, of course it is. And so, as a matter of fact, the pyramid is actually this King Solomon's temple. But most people do not study the subject enough to understand what I'm saying. But if you go into the reference works and look at the words and look them up, you will find that there's a whole different understanding among the academics of the world and the ancient religions than what we are used to understanding today.
Hill Air Force in Utah. Mark, first-time caller. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I just wanted to call and ask Jordan Maxwell if there's some sort of ancient meaning to Obama's symbol or if it's a variation on something ancient.
Well, if you go on my website to what's new, there's a little...
And what symbol are we talking about?
Well, I think it's the sun with the waves beneath
it. Okay.
Go on my website to jordanmaxwell.com and then go to what's new, and there's six pictures there, and they tell a story. It's an extraordinarily controversial story, those six pictures they're telling you. And I'm not going to talk about it right now over the air, but just go on my website and go to what's new and check out the pictures and see if you understand what I was getting at on those pictures.
How do you decipher these things?
Well, it's very easy. There's a library. You go to the libraries and look at like UCLA, USC, and sit in the stacks down at USC for days and weeks on end, going through all the old reference works, all the encyclopedias from Europe, and checking out the words and the terms and what the ancient people said. And especially I like going down to Simon Wiesenthal's Center for Holocaust Studies, like I used to do for years, many years ago, and sit and talk with the rabbis. And it's fascinating how much people don't know about what's going on. It's an incredible story of hidden knowledge, wisdom that's hidden.
Let's go to Alberta, Canada, on the international line. Gene, you're on with Jordan Maxwell.
Hi.
Hey, Gene.
This is quite a thrill. I just want to get your take on this swine flu thing. Do you think the forces of darkness are going to start making their play now?
Well, yeah, I have my own opinion about that, but it's not something I want to talk about publicly. I'm always interested in the words and terms that government comes up with.
You believe it's been concocted, though?
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind about it. No doubt in my mind about that at all.
And Illuminati.
Why do they call it swine flu? Is there some kind of a tip-off in that? Always in government, when they use words and terms, they have a reason. They're telling you something if you know how to read the symbols.
What would swine...
Well, I'm not going to get into it right now.
Well, is it dangerous for us?
Well, no, it's I don't want to go there right now. But we'll talk about that in private one day.
You're still afraid for your life, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm very, very afraid because... When there are certain kinds of knowledge, which you know as well as I do, even if you don't know the knowledge, but you're smart enough to know that there are certain things you cannot talk about in public, especially on radio and before the public audience. There are certain things that will get you hurt, and you know that. Well, I have been privileged to be in the company of people who know that kind of knowledge, and I have been gathering it over the years. And so I have been told by government people, by FBI agents, by people who have contacted me and telling me, you better watch your mouth. You're being listened to. And, well, we like what you're doing. We like what you're as a person. But somewhere along the line, you're going to overstep the boundaries and talk about something you're not supposed to, and you're going to be in trouble. I don't want that. I'm too old and tired to be, you know, taken to jail. I don't want to go to prison for something I talked about. So I got to be very careful what I say.
Interesting. Sedona, Arizona, it's got to be you, Blair.
Hi, George. Hi. Thanks, sir. Hey, Jordan, I'd like your comment on the way the movie Zeitgeist portrayed Christianity as a fraud in the same way it does the Federal Reserve, because in my belief, the fraud may be certain practices of some organized, you know, religions, because the basic precepts of Jesus are sound. For example, perfect love casts out fear.
Yes, I understand. Let me say this, as Kennedy would say, let me say this about that. I have the highest of admiration and regard for the Bible, and I believe that the New Testament story, the story of Jesus and the complete New Testament, is a metaphor. Especially the four Gospels are a metaphor, a symbolic story. And once you begin to look at the New Testament story of Jesus as a symbolic metaphor, then things begin to make sense. And I've been looking at this for 45 years, and I'm telling you, I have the highest respect for true Christianity, the teachings of Jesus. I have no problem with it all. But what my problem is with corporate religions who have mistranslated, misunderstood, and misled the people into believing things which are not true. I'm telling you, there's a profound story in the New Testament that you are not going to believe when you find out the key, when you get the key words and understand how this story flows. You begin to see the entire New Testament, especially the four Gospels, is an encoded metaphor. It's telling you something if you can read between the lines. And what you need to do is understand the symbols, what is Jesus symbolically in the New Testament. We can get into that later.
Next up, we go to Cheyenne, Wyoming. John, it's your turn. Hey, John, go ahead.
Good evening, George. Thank you very much for taking my call. One thing I want to disagree with Mr. Maxwell about is the all-seeing eye on top of the pyramid of the dollar bill actually came not from Christian or Jewish texts. It came from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, 2000 B.C. And as an ex, and I repeat ex, Freemason, I can tell you, too, that the symbol of the 32nd degree Mason is very scary because it's a two-headed eagle emanating from a pyramid. One head is white, one head is black, and it symbolizes, according to the Masons, the two gods equally powerful, one of the heavens and one of the underworld. And when I asked some of my lodge brothers to explain that to me, their only response was, "Don't tamper with untempered mortar," which means watch your step, buddy boy, you're walking on thin ice.
Yep. I understand.
And they're not what they purport to be, but I'm not afraid because whatever they do to me, and the same that they'll do to you, Jordan, whatever they do to us, God will punish them 100-fold.
I appreciate your thought. Thank you.
Jordan,
all I'm saying here is this. Look at the reference works. Go to the library. Go to a Christian bookstore. Go to a seminary, like the Fuller Theological Seminary that I just live over there. They're a huge library. Go to the symbols, go to the reference book, and you will see what the words actually mean. And the words for Messiah in the Old Testament means a triangle on top of a pyramid. And the word for Jesus in the New Testament is chief cornerstone, and which means in Greek a triangle on top of a pyramid. That's what the reference works say, all of them.
Jordan, you think people like Alex Jones are sticking their necks out a little too far?
Oh, big time. Way out. I have the highest of admiration for Alex Jones. I'm not the man he is. I mean, he's out there in the face of dark forces. I'm not that brave of a man. I would prefer to just do the best I can without telling everybody the rest of the story, because I'm afraid to tell the rest of the story.
But can they go and check out their own rest of the story?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I would love to be able to sit and do a show with you and give you all the reference works around the world to go to, and you will begin to see it's all been there. They're not hiding anything. It's all been there if you know how to read the symbols, know what the words mean.
Maybe I will take your files when you decide to retire.
I would make you a copy. You'd be surprised at the kind of stuff that's in there.
Let's go to St. Louis. Jerry, first-time caller. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, man, you guys are amazing. I just love, I can sit here listening to you guys for the next 3 hours.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Both of you. I listen to you both as much as I can. One thing I just wanted to chime in here for a second is that, and I wish I could be involved in that meeting when you give up all of your secrets and your files. And
yeah.
Geez Louise.
Tesla's files.
Well, what I'm thinking about doing is making all of my files available as a product. Just downloading my computer over all these years and just downloading it into some kind of a product and just get the files out there, because I've got over 400 files just in one in one computer. I got 300 files filled with documents and pictures on all kinds of
stuff. What did you do in the old days when we didn't have computers?
I used to live at UCLA every day. I'd go down UCLA all night long until they kicked you out. I'd go down to USC, go out to Berkeley. I spent days and weeks and months at the seminary libraries, just photocopying hundreds and hundreds of documents. It's just an incredible world of hidden knowledge that people who don't know this kind of thing, you don't know where to look. I learned a long time ago, many years ago, about the symbols and words and terms and how they work. And I'm telling you, it's an extraordinary story.
I want to paraphrase something you told us a long time ago when you were dating as a teenager. You believe that the father of a girl that you were dating might have been an E.T.
Yes, that's what I believe. It's just my personal belief.
He knew too much.
Yeah, he just blew me away with what he knew.
And then they were gone. They disappeared.
And then they were gone. They just left one day and never came back, and I never heard from them again. But the things he told me and the way he played his cards, it just knocked me out. It was scary. One day I'll have to maybe tell you again on the air when we have some time. I'll give you that experience again.
Let's go to Vincent in Granbury, Texas. Final caller. Go ahead, Vincent.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
I'm really excited to hear Jordan Maxwell on the radio again. I've wanted to ask him for several months if he saw anything portentous in the President of the United States of America bowing to the Queen of England and the King of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. That should tell you something. I don't know. Yeah, you better go back and look at that. And go, as I said, go on my website.
It tells you that his aides didn't tell him the protocol.
Yeah. Huh? Well, it has to do with something called British Israel World Federation. You need to understand what the British...
It has nothing to do with Israel.
No. Well, it has to do with Israel, but not really.
Yeah.
It has to do with a secret society, a fraternal order that's been operating in Europe for many, many, many years. It's called the British Israel Secret Society or the British Israel World Federation. And in one of their in-house, it's on my website, in their in-house publications, they talked about as far back as 1936, 37. We're talking 1936, 37 in their publications. They talked about how they were targeting the date of mid-September of the year 2001 to establish the final New World Order for Jesus and it would be in the United States, and they said it would be in the middle of September. And they theorized it would be September possibly the 17th. In the year 2001. That's far back as 1936.
In writing.
They targeted the date of mid-September of 2001 as the target date for the last and final move against the Republic of America.
Jordan Maxwell, be safe, and can I have my dollar back, please?
Well, yeah.
Thanks.
I'll write you a check.
I'll give you a bill. I'll be back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM.